I want to welcome you this morning to the 10:30 service. This has been an epic week in significant weather, catastrophe, and a lot of other things in Southern California. Shake your head if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, yesterday morning I woke up, it was 31 degrees, and we were in Mojave, and we were playing on a soccer field that had frost. You should have seen what the Avalonian girls look like walking out on the field with bed sheets and beanies on their head, just way out of place for Catalinans. But I sat back and I watched this game, and in the distance, plumes of smoke from over the mountains as Ventura County and Santa Barbara and other places just going off as the winds picked up again yesterday. We are not out of it yet over there, nowhere near it. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing somewhere between 10 to 20% contained over there. My daughter's here as a result of a campus being closed and finals for college students canceled completely, getting them out of there. This is a big deal going on. We have a lot happening. That was just our harbor right there in the course of just a handful of hours. Technically speaking, it gets a lot larger than that. Some of you guys know that. Have lived here. That was just, guys were out surfing just an hour or two after the tide started to go out a little bit. They weren't going to run into a wall. But there's days where you don't want to go near it. I mean, even out on the Green Pier. So there were picture takers such as myself that were out there to feel it. But there's days where you guys that have lived here for a while understand you don't want to be near that. That's not even close to safe. You want to be up on the mountains. And you want to be praying for those that have boats, another property along the water there. That was a significant few hours, wasn't it? And what blew my mind was the boat still ran that day. This summer, I had a chance, and along with others, the Burkhams and some great friends connected in Washington. We had a place up there that was set aside for us to check out for the first time. A lot of provision. A lot of it was free, with the exception of our transportation going up there. I'd never been to this one area called Index, and to meet this great family that really was, as a courtesy, showing us what they did on behalf of adventure and where God fits in. And we had a chance to literally camp in the middle of nowhere. And this is some of our remote area. This guy's got 5 acres or so, or 25 acres of land that he's moved into up north of where this base camp is located, and we just went ahead 5 miles up the road and camped in the middle of nowhere. I may have some video footage of this river. Is it working? This is what it sounded like. Yeah, imagine hearing that all night. You know, some people buy CDs of this stuff. Or, you know, they Pandora, you know, silent sounds or nature sounds. If you live near the harbor, that's not what it sounded like this week. As it hit the wall, you hear that percussion of, you know, as it goes back out and you watch lifeguard towers go out there into the water. Just the power that we see here. And last week I had the privilege of sharing with you my belief that miracles continue to happen. They're not just stuff that happened 2,000 years ago. It's still happening today. That video that Reed put on earlier, that's a daily thing going on December through February in Hawaii. Okay, that happened to be Brazil and other places around the world. These are Brazilians that'll celebrate, you know, Big Surf, Mavericks, other places. To be honest with you, those guys on the jet ski, it's another day at the office for them. Okay, they do not sometimes rescue people they even know, much less rescue people they even like sometimes. They don't. I mean, these guys, these are hardcore guys out there getting towed into these waves. And on land, they're not always close friends, okay? But these rescuers don't go back at home thinking, I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda, okay? They just do it. And they jump in there and they go after these guys. It's an amazing video that you played because it went from one danger to a rescue to a danger. Now you got two guys underwater. And that's the power of that. It's like doing a sit-up with an elephant on your chest, trying to come up in that white water, just looking for air. And that was an incredible video. Thanks for showing that, because today it really is very relevant with where we're at. Double red flags this week. And other miracles, I thought, that were a part of our life this summer. We learned at this base camp in Index how to kayak. Okay, for Islanders, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. I mean, we kayak a lot out here, stand up paddle, other things like that. But at this base camp, they taught us a few things we didn't know. And they just said, you don't know the power of the current between these islands out here. So we want to prepare you for that. Everybody out back, everybody in a kayak. Of course, I'm in one with three, my wife and Grace and I. And they make you flip upside down in what seemed to be, you know, 40-something degree water. And you got to right yourself. And that's no problem if you're by yourself, because you're like, I know, I'm going to push down on this and pull up on this. But when you got three people in a kayak, it's a little tricky. And you got others that have to be on top helping to pull you up and over. And there's a lot of work involved in the rescue. And it's not necessarily whitewater, but what's underneath the surface could seem like whitewater, just the current that's there. So we did some crazy stuff out there going from island to island. I felt the power of our kayak just spinning around like a paper plate on top of the water. You guys have paddled or come close to the back of the Cat Express while it's sitting at the mole with the with it just completely gunning, you know, the current that comes out of that, or even the Green Pier with all the traffic on the Green Pier during the hot sun in the summer afternoon, that current that flows through there, and you watch this one kayaker just go out, just, you know, just kind of spin off into nowhere. They weren't paying attention to that current. I think God's miracles are alive today. When things are spinning out of control, there's stuff that is really waiting to happen, and people are forgetting about those things. The Getty sits right over here, just real close to the LAX airport and closer even to downtown. As we came through traffic last night, and I looked up on the hill, and I saw these men in orange, and I didn't get a chance to upload this photo, but these men that were just pushing the material around and spraying, and they were all dressed in orange. They just combed the whole hillside, and right above it is this museum where some of the most precious paintings are stored in all the world, you know? And Mary Lou and I were talking briefly before the service. I wonder what they were thinking while that fire was creeping closer and closer. You know, we need a miracle. Or let's get this stuff underground or whatever it is. But there it sat, and it's completely fried all underneath it over there. Miracles. What does it teach us for today? And I think the most important thing as we're settling into this is you're going, Christmas, you know, I need a financial miracle. My relationship is not good right now in my own family or with my wife or my son or my daughter or with my husband or this cousin here in town. We're not on speaking terms. I need a miracle. My rent is due, or January my lease runs out. I need a miracle. And if you settle back and you understand that 2,000 years ago, God sent an absolute miracle to pay for our stuff, but most importantly, to benefit us, to take you into a whole other journey with Him, that this life is just the foothills for. It's an incredible eternity with Him. When you settle into the fact that God's still into miracles today, you realize this is all a part of His rescue. Like those guys on the jet ski, God sends someone in for you, and it is going to cost Him. He is going to get taken out, but He's going to come back, like that video showed. And there will be a successful rescue. We study because they reveal what's possible today from the impossible. If you have notes today and they look like this, just flip it over and write that in the blank right there. They reveal what's possible today through something that looks totally impossible. The Getty is still standing over there. Even though just a few feet down below, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing over there. The wind does this and it does that. And I've seen hurricanes and I've seen the evidence of tons of tornadoes where we lived that would just touch down and go. And this house was fine, this house was taken out, and this one was spared. There's something impossible. People are praying that they have something to return to this week. Homes are starting to open up again. Certain neighborhoods are being opened up as people are allowed that had evacuated to come in and to check on things, praying for a miracle. Students are grabbing everything they can right now out of college campuses, and they're boxing up what's valuable to them and expecting to come back in the spring. They're heading out, completely heading out, not knowing what to return to. We're going to talk about Jesus walking on water, and that is an impossible thing. When I was growing up and I was young, somebody tried to tell me once about this lizard in South Africa called the Jesus lizard. Apparently, this thing is so light and its feet are so webbed, it runs so fast, it literally can run across the water. And it can eat bugs that rest on the water while it's on the move. There is epic footage of this in YouTube. I don't have time for today. It's a longer National Geographic. But there is evidence of this. But this guy that was in this group I was in was trying to tell me that since we knew this lizard could do it, that we know it's possible for Jesus to walk on water. And I just thought, you know, that made as much sense as if I was on crack cocaine, okay? Absolutely nothing. It doesn't make sense. Jesus could not walk on water. I was a punk. And I'm sitting here going, this is a story, man. I mean, people just don't do this. It's called swimming, bro. My son has incredibly webbed toes, but he can't walk on water. It's impossible. Nobody can do it. And, you know, as a kid, I thought what I thought, but this guy was trying to tell me, well, nature shows evidence of something much larger, and its creator can do this. I blew him off. The reality is, this is an impossible event, I'm going to read to you, but it speaks to our lives today about what is possible. I'm looking at it right now. Take a look in your notes or on the screen. Matthew chapter 14, 25 through 33. Just touching on this. Fantastic story, though, and great illustrations today. Jesus was hanging out with his disciples. They got into a boat. They went on ahead of him. Okay? During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. So Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out towards Jesus. He said, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiping him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I think that this miracle teaches us something in our lives today. As I looked out into the harbor and I saw people last minute getting out of that harbor towards the dinghy dock before it was pulled, and super late night that before, people standing with whatever they could hold under their arms down there closer to Step Beach, and they were looking out wondering if they'd ever see that boat again. As you guys know, one hit Abalone Point there, and a man was clinging to the rocks there. I can only imagine what these people thought as they saw these two men come back into the boat. Recognizing the reality of God can be scary. Write that in. The reality of God can be scary. You have to imagine the scene. Disciples were heading out into the lake. Wind and waves start to rise. This is between 3 and 4 in the morning. Okay? That is a big day of ministry. It's about to end in a bang here. That's super late night stuff. They look across. They see this figure walking on the water. They're scared, like, oh my gosh. There's somebody on the water. It's impossible. No one can walk on the water. It's got to be a ghost. And they're literally freaking out. They're scared. Whatever the supernatural has in store for us here, it's scary. And whenever the supernatural invades life here, this physical, material world that we live in, it can be scary. It means there's more to life than we thought. Several times in the Word, we have seen angels coming down and giving messages to humans. Every single time the angel comes down, it's a freak show. Every time, what are the first words out of their mouth when they look at people? What do they say? "Do not be afraid. Fear not. Relax, dude." Okay? That's exactly what it's like. I mean, they're just going nuts. People are scared. I mean, this is the time of the year we focus on what happened with the shepherds. And I mean, there's tons of them in the backdrop singing. not just singing anything, but glory to God on the highest. Can you imagine thousands and thousands of voices in the pitch black of night on a hillside? Yeah, I'd be scared. I'd be prostrate, okay, completely laid out. And if I'm a human hanging out, I'm in my condo here, I'm doing the dishes or whatever, and I turn around, there's an angel. My life is shattered, okay, at that point. This is a huge thing, all right? These giant creatures standing there, okay, well-muscled, all looking at us, just dripping with the glory of God. My first response is I would lose control of my bowels. I would freak out, okay? And the angel says, do not be afraid. Relax. You don't have to be afraid. Recognize the reality of God here. And they're like, recognize the reality of God. It can be scary, okay? It takes them a minute. And I know because I spent 4 years of my life running from the reality of God. I didn't want to know what God's truth was about. I didn't want to know that He was real because I knew that it would mean something to my life. And I remember that time. And the worldview would have to expand a little bit and it would have to include Him. I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to include His plan for my life. And that's scary. That's even worse than, you know, a harbor that's out of control, or worse yet, a harbor out of control at night where you can't really see anything coming in. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're right here, scared of recognizing the reality of God. And maybe like myself, running from that reality. And you don't want to recognize that God really does love you this morning. And He really does have a plan for your life. He cares about the things you care about. It's a good plan. Philippians says this, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Someday this will happen and the reality of God will so invade the world, everybody's going to drop to their knee. And for some people, literally, that's a very scary thing. Doesn't have to be Jesus' answer and you and I, for you and I today, don't be afraid. The message says this, I want to give you a message of love. I love you. I care for your life. I have a plan that's so incredible. There's nothing bad about what I want for you. That's the reality. So if you're a seeker and you're just checking this thing out and you're looking kind of from the outside in and you're investigating this, I want to applaud your presence. I think you're a brave person throughout the course of these next few weeks. A lot of people are going to be trying on church. You know, I'm not including New Year's resolutions. I'm just talking about it's that time of the year, you know. Easter, Christmas, people want to check back in. And for a lot of people, they're just checking this whole God thing out. And I'm super thankful that you're here. I really am. It's a courageous move. And continue to search. Others are sold out. Now, I'm going to show you a series of pictures of some guys that are seriously sold out right here. And they're not going to walk on water, but they got what it takes. They're going, look at the lifeguard underneath this photo right here. This is a photo of a bear that's sold out. That's an actual photo of a bear that is sold out, okay? These guys are all in. Man, I need a savior. Woo! I'm in. I'm going off this cliff, whale's tail, no problem. I know what's at the bottom. Sold out. They've seen enough junk in their past to know I've been rescued for that. I'm in. And I know this is going to cause some waves with my friendships, or maybe even my relatives. I might have to check out from some of the friendships, maybe the music I listen to, maybe the lifestyle I have, but I'm all in. So they do. But there's areas at times, there may be areas that you hold on to. Little things. We mentioned this last week. Certain things that you're not letting God be real, and maybe in your thought life, something in there, possibly. God wants to be real in your thought life. Maybe you have a tendency towards gossip. Gossip. So you don't let God into that area because you know that in recognizing the reality of God, when you're with your friends, it's the way you talk. So it's going to look a little awkward at first. I can't gossip. I don't feel like gossiping, or I do feel like gossiping and I know I shouldn't be gossiping. And all of a sudden your language has to change. You feel a little awkward. You're going to have to change. That's my question. Where have you not let God into? I want you to think. I want a silent retreat going on in your heart and in your filter, the mind, to let yourself think carefully. Is there an area that God needs to enter? Is there something that is needing the reality of God's love to come in to settle that insecurity that's there? What does it look like? Where are you refusing to recognize His reality, Andrew? I needed that just even a week ago. I felt the power of this storm. Only had about an hour. Super early in the morning, we got a call from a friend. There's a pro surfer in the harbor. Ran down there. I didn't care about watching the surfer, man. I was just going around like, oh my gosh. And we had just a pause in the action. And I realized, my gosh, there's so much stuff coming in at this point. There's going to be so much damage at the end of the day. And as you saw Front Beach completely empty of its sand, and you looked underneath the sand at what was there. Did you see that shot? Did you see the pipes? They looked pretty raunchy, didn't they? They needed some work. They might have been old pipes. They're not even doing their job anymore. They've been replaced by new pipes. But sometimes under the surface, there's stuff there. And Jeff and the team were out busting it. Oscar, all you guys were shoveling all day long and working hard. They had the front-end loaders just piling sand out there, covering things, getting them back to normal, trying to find some shape again. And the reality of our hearts in that, just the visual image of what sometimes looking under the hood can look, identify you're short on or you're low on. And when this storm came in, what left into the harbor, the stuff floating out there was unbelievable. Only lasted a few hours. But I want you to check and see what's underneath in the surface of your heart. The first thing I think this miracle teaches us is this, that big thing, recognize the reality of God can be scary. You may find some stuff underneath that's just like, whoa, where did that come from? Number two is this. I think this miracle teaches when your eyes are on Jesus, you can do amazing things. Great scripture here. Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come. Lord, if it is you, rescue my marriage. Give up control. Lord, if it is you, pay my rent next month.
Tithe.
Lord, if it is you, help me lead my friend to Christ. Realize I'm good. You need that first. Then the rescue. Peter's just like us. I want to believe really bad. I want to get out of this boat really bad. I don't see anything possible. I really need this miracle. What is your miracle that's needed? The winds are blowing. The waves are up. Jesus says, get out, dude. Peter grabs the rail, climbs over, puts one foot down, then another, and he realizes he's standing. All right. Takes another step. Small swell starts to rise above him. Then he slides down. And surfing is invented at that point. Unreal. He's like, this is amazing. Then later gets back into the boat. I'm sure the other disciples asked him about it. I'd be the first one right next to him going, what was it like? What did it feel like? Some of you guys have seen the movie The Shack. Or you read the book. But the visual in the movie when he gets out of the boat and the two of them are running across that lake. That's such a great scene. What was it like? They didn't have enough faith to get out of the boat, but Peter did. And it takes faith out of your comfort zone. It always does. And when you and I set our eyes on Jesus, the creator of all things, amazing things happen. When you tithe, God does bless you. When you take a risk in a relationship, that's your test. A blessing will follow.
It does.
Okay. It may not be played out in your timing. We've heard that a lot. How many have been doing the 40 days of prayer? Raise your hand. Everybody finished with it or getting close? Okay. All right. One of the last sessions, 10, is big C word. What's it talking about? Everyone remember? Right. Crisis in prayer. Crisis. Praying in a crisis, right? What are the crises going on in your life? Do you have an idea what the crisis may be in someone else's life? That was a great session. Really caused some internal thinking for me, only to be thrown the bonus section called persistence in prayer. What did I need that? Talking about a blessing will always follow a testing. So you're going to be tested first. And I think that's where I think we're looking at a story here, the testing of Peter's faith. What's it all about? I mentioned earlier that we had some great guides at Lopez Island helping us through some of the stuff that we dealt with. This really did take us on some incredible adventure. The guides made it possible. They made paddling from an island to island look like it was a no-brainer. They really did. I try keeping up with these guys. You know, I paddle in the ocean, and these guys are paddling, you know, in crazy, you know, class 4 and 5 rapids every day. That's what they do. They made stuff look easy. And you know what? I considered, you know, when they said, we're going to help you, I got a little nervous, you know. They threw me in a boat without a guide, but I was like, we're going to stay right next to you. You follow where we go. You stay right with us. All right, I can do this. And we took one evening cruise out there, sundown. Man, it was sketchy. You know, when we left the jetty area and we got into open water and the serious swell came in there, 4 or 5 footers were coming in. No big deal if you're in a single, but we were in triples. That's a lot of weight shifting that may not be shifting at the exact same rhythm. It'll throw your game off. And so putting people in the kayak in a certain seat is necessary. Our outriggers, same thing. You know, looking at the swell direction, the way that it's coming in, the way that we're leaning, made a big difference. And they'd say, we're going to take you on this endeavor, and you're going to succeed. We're going to be with you, and when it's done, you're going to be amazed, guaranteed. You're going to be tired. We're going to do this adventure and this adventure. We're going to bike over here. We're going to do all this, but you're going to be tired. And we want to know, do you want to go mild or wild? How do you want to do it today? And they take an assessment of the team at every breakfast. How are you doing today? You want to go mild? You want to go wild? You know, our leader was always wild. And we were all up for it. And by about 3 hours in, we were all like, okay, dude, we're back to mild now. Not happening. It was so fun. Wasn't it great? Really fun. But I remember the words, mild to wild. Without those guides, quite honestly, totally that trip would have been boring. I mean it. It would have been boring. They brought life into my family. They brought life into me. Here I am, a pastor, and it took me a couple days to get out of the matrix. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. I want to make sure I'm prepared. I didn't need anything, quite honestly. I just needed to calm down. And some of the nights by the river leading up to our adventure really helped refine and bring things to the surface that I needed to let God have. And those guides were beautiful, wonderful guides, good stuff. My personal favorite was a trip that as we were actually leaving a secluded cove, and we were waiting on all the boats to load up, and a couple of boats, including myself, had loaded up a little bit earlier, and we were kind of backed out, sitting still, and we were waiting on the other boats, and I just paddled maybe twice, and this thing just shot like a cannon. Kind of going through, if you're a surfer, going through the middle of Huntington Pier, you know, you can shoot out through it. And this, it's just this explosion of energy, and the kayak just takes off with barely any direction at all. This little cove that we were paddling out of, I won't forget it. It was incredible. But it's like that with Jesus as our guide. He looks at us and he says, man, if you follow me, put your sights on me, you got this. And some of you are going, that doesn't make any sense, dude. Those guides knew the area. They knew what was going on. And so I sit here and I remind you, don't you think that God knows the area? Don't you think that he's been through this? He's the one who made this incredible playground that we call Earth. He created humans. He understands their thinking. And he's the one who knit us together lovingly. He's the one who has a plan for each one of us. It's a plan of love. And he knows this area. He knows the current that love needs to flow, and he understands when you're out of love and what it feels like. He's the guide. We need to set our eyes on him. We need to pull up alongside him. Never felt better when we were in large swell than when all the kayaks came together and we linked together. Try to flip us now, you know. Try to flip us now. We're all holding each other in each other's paddles, linked together. It's like that with Jesus. If you've already stepped across the line, my challenge is this. When was the last time you stepped outside your comfort zone? Out of the boat. When was the last time you got out? When was the last time you had a conversation that was so deep and so real with your heart that your heart was pounding and your eyes were shining? And when was the last time you stepped out in faith and took a risk? I know with my last visit with my brother and seeing his condition and hearing terminal cancer and what was going on in his life, I realized I needed to have some tough conversations. Very tough conversations. I wasn't sure what day I wanted to have them. And in my mind's eye, I was thinking maybe it's my last day because if it doesn't go well, I'm on a plane. I can fly out. But then I thought, no, that's not a good day. I need to leave a day in between for processing in case it does go well and we need to talk about it. So I chose that day. And I had a heart-to-heart with my oldest brother. I said, I just want to know one thing. And when you leave here, you're in the arms of Jesus, because that's all I got to go on when I leave here. That's all I got. I got my memories, but if I don't see you again, what's the point? He said, I'm good. I'm good. Couldn't talk a lot, but he gave me enough to go on. So I went home that night, and the next day, feeling a little bit stronger, had more to say. I'm good. But I know there's some areas in my life I need to clean up. And it's not to do with this cancer. It has nothing to do with the pain that I'm feeling. It's some of the stuff that's gone on over the years. And some prideful things came out. I said, I'm good with that too. And I want you to forgive me for some stuff. And it was a private conversation between my brother and I. Some unfinished business that needed to happen. Thank God I had that day to process. Sometimes we don't get those days. I stepped out of the comfort zone. I said, God, I don't know how this looks, but will you do this with me? Come. We'll do this together. Number three, when you find yourself sinking in the storm, reach out to Jesus. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, came towards Jesus. When they saw the wind, everybody looking here, he saw it, focused on it. All of a sudden, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. You of little faith. Peter stepped out of the boat, went cruising across the waves, and all of a sudden, he pauses, looks around, and begins to sink. Doubts that come in. This isn't going to go well. Yesterday, we were in a game. We made it. We did so well in this tournament. And we got to the final game. The girls were just pooped. They were played out. Fundraiser the night before we left till all hours of the night over in the casino. Get on the first boat. Pound out four games in a row in 2 days. I knew it was gonna wind up somewhere down the line playing itself out. They were pooped. But we made it to our last game against Mojave. They're in their turf. We're way far from home. They were up for it for about 15 minutes. We put two in the net. They put one in the net. And then we all started looking at each other's coaches. This isn't going well. All of a sudden, the ball's right there inside our goal, bouncing around all over the place. And I'm looking at each other, I don't feel good about this. This is going to be a long game. I'd love to just put 11 people on defense to defend our lead because this is not going well. And it just tanked. And we lost 3-2. We had held them 2-2 most of the game. We were looking at penalty kicks, man. We're going into this. And sure enough, they got stronger. They got stronger. And our team was tired. We played out, so to speak. And I sat back going, my gosh, no matter what I did or said or yelled, they were done. And I want to challenge you. What are you reaching for in the halftime of your life? What do you reach for? Most of our girls are reaching for ibuprofen. They were beat up. That's a quick fix. But what's the real lifeline look? What is your self-help?
What's the book? Maybe an online pastor. What is it that you use? Could it be Jesus?
Should it be Jesus? Years ago, on my daughter's first mission trip, we went to three different countries, ended up in Bali. One afternoon, we had a chance to surf, and we had to paddle at least 45 minutes to just get outside the reef. And I made this paddle, and I got out there, and it was nice. It was all waist high. basically glass, and I just had the time of my life out there. I was even making pictures while I was out there. It was great. I had one of those cameras back then that would link to your wrist. It wasn't a GoPro, but it was waterproof. And I just heard this sound out of nowhere as I looked up and watched the horizon just disappear. And this rogue wave came in out of nowhere. It was way bigger than my abilities and my talent. And I realized I am going to be vaporized on this reef. And I turned around and I did what everybody would normally do. I paddled right for the thing. Because I'm like, my shot at getting over this is now, or it's going to break over my head. And I turned around, I went right for this thing. I paddled directly towards it. And I turned right around because here it comes. And I caught the wave, realizing I'm probably going to die anyway. I might as well enjoy it. So I'm riding this wave and I'm sitting here on it. And I'm listening to it closing out on the reef behind me. Section after section exploding on the reef as all of this, you know, this aerified water is just going past my face, my ears. And sure enough, it hit me in the back of the head. I went underwater. My face hit the reef. It ripped the leash off my leg. The board was broken. My paddle was broken. And camera was long gone. And my bathing suit was gone. I was alone, but I was naked before my father. And it was embarrassing. I couldn't find which way was up. I felt like this is it. Everyone in here has either been in the surf here or been to shark on a big day or been sucked out by riptide and you've been caught wondering which end is up. I can't even touch the ground. I had nothing to pull on for a leash. And I get up there and the first thing I look for is a board, which is so far away. And I'm thinking, here comes another one. And I turned around and looked, there was nothing. That was a rogue wave. There was no set. So I found the board. It was a heck of a swim. Then I found my shorts. All right? Never found the paddle, never found the camera. I'd lost all the memories of my daughter's first mission trip on there. I'll never forget it. I was absolutely terrified. I was done. And the reef, for that matter, was also exposed, so that was fun crossing back over. And then 45 minutes after that, I lived. But that story reminds me how some of us are living. Life storms have so disoriented us. We've been bounced around back and forth. Some of us are out on this island because we came here for an escape. We don't know which end to turn. And if you're sinking in the midst of storms, there is an answer. There is a name above every name, and He will not let you sink. And you're sitting here going, this is so practical. It's so simple. And you're right. And we don't use it. The name is Jesus. Four different people I know. One person in the midst of the storm, several years ago, she decided that she was going to rely on Demerol, a pain reliever. And she became addicted. And it totally messed up her life. Somebody else I talked to was in the midst of storms, and they became convinced that relationships were the way to go. And they became codependent. And they're in worse trouble now than they were before. And someone else I know threw their whole heart and soul into sports and hobbies and gambling, fantasy football and other stuff. And they were an escapist. If you talk to them now, you realize there's no substance there. Absolutely nothing for their soul. They were very one-dimensional. Somebody else I know threw themselves into work and school. This is me. And they're a workaholic. And there's no fun hanging out with somebody who can't turn it off. A lot of ways we can reach out, but they'll let you sink. God won't let you sink. That's the promise. Reach out to Jesus. He's not going to let you sink. Great verse, and I think we can learn from this miracle in Romans. The Bible promises that everyone who reaches out, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to do, like Peter, is reach out. Lord, help me. Help me. My family is tanking. Help me. And there's a family in Avalon that is doing that this morning. And we have been called as friends, pastors, neighbors, to pray with this family. My kid is out of control. Help me. Well, you need to read this book, this Josh McDowell book here, this James Dobson family counseling matter right here. When you get to the bottom of it, we'll go through it and have lunch. They don't need that. Not right now. They need the name above every name. I need Jesus. Help me. The fourth thing we can learn from this, we're sitting next to God, even in the worst storms, they seem calm. You're sitting next to Him. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." I think as we read this context, the whole story, they weren't worshiping Him because the wind died down. I seriously don't think that. I think they're worshiping Him because they just saw Him walk on water. They were used to storms. They probably blew it a million times. These guys were made for the ocean. They lived on it as their livelihood. I think they were looking at Him going, "You just walked on water, dude." They saw Peter do it. They saw him walk. Then they saw him sink. And they saw Jesus save him. That's why they were worshiping Him. That's my take. And this comment, "Then the wind died down," like an afterthought. Oh yeah, the wind died down too. Scripture in this story is so beautiful. And the way it's laid out, the Bible never promises us that God is going to remove the storms in our life. You catch that? You may end up having a rough holiday. Doesn't say that it's going to be removed. It is safer to be in a canoe sitting with God in the midst of the worst hurricane than standing on the deck of the Titanic on a calm sea. When I can stand before God and just throw on Him all my stuff, all of my stress, all the worries that I have, all the storms in my life, then I get something I can't explain. I can't go there. I just know something is in return. I know Irene and other important people that work here in our church work in some tough ministries, but they realize when you do this, you will have a response from God. And I love that bonus section of the 40 days of prayer, right? Where it's talking about, you know, here's an answer. And here's a different answer. And here's my other answer. Wait, I'm going to grow you a little bit. Go, grow. It's a really cool formula. And I look and I see, I'm going to cast everything on Him. He's got a formula that's going to come back to you. When I can stand before God and just throw all this stuff on Him, He'll pull out my situation, allows me to look down, gives me perspective on it. As I flew from Florida and I came back here, I had a chance to look back on my brother's situation. And I was alone on the flight, and that was good. Good for me to be alone. My head was kind of on the glass. And you've sat on a plane like that. And as I left Pinellas County, and I left all that's inside it, I had to gain perspective. What were my 40 years like living there? What do I take from my relationship with my brother and that event, that last event? When I have perspective about the storms in my life, I have peace that He'll give to you. When you have peace, it comes from God. He'll have something else. And this is joy, and it's deeper than ever before. Our first service talked about it today. And you have joy in your heart that you know no matter what happens, you're going to be okay, because in the right relationship with God, there's something deeper. You can have joy in your life when all heck is breaking out. I don't understand these people that are losing things right now, losing material things and houses, even horses and other valuables in Ventura County. There are people who get on, they'll talk to them on television. They'll say, "I have the most important thing right here next to me." As they hug their loved one. And there's some joy that sustains them. How can you have joy in your life? People will say, "I don't understand." And they won't understand. Because they can't understand this relationship. It's a supernatural joy that comes from God to you. And it just says that you're relying on His love. He's sitting next to you in the midst of the worst storms, and you can have calm. That's why that image was up there. You know, that boat without a driver just kind of going right out into the middle of this storm. That's a rough look. I can do this. He's my pilot. I had a friend named Fred. He was an older guy. He was actually the father to one of my youth leaders. Had a wonderful staff, wonderful staff of people I worked with. And we went over to his house. He had the worst wig I've ever seen in my life on his head. It looked like a wounded possum crawled up on his head to die. And we would just make fun of Fred all the time. The teenagers were all over it all the time. And I remember going to his house, and it was a different visit this time around. I didn't know what to expect. Fred was given the diagnosis of terminal cancer. And the doctor said, you know what, I'm going to send you home. I'm going to send you home to die. I'm going to give you your bed, and you're going to go home, and you're going to finish it out right there. And I remember a leader and I made a phone call, and we were going over there, and we were prepared for what we thought we were going to see. And we walked in the door, and Fred had a billion people all standing around his bed. There was music playing, and they parted a little bit. He's like, Andrew, get over here. And I'm going, oh, okay. And me and my friend looked at each other like, what sort of tale have we fallen into here? And we approached the bed, and he's like, sit down. How can I pray for you guys? I'm like, Fred, dude, we're here to do that for you. He's like, nope. I want to know how I can pray for you guys. And I'm not going to sit here until you start talking. Tell me your story. I said, I had a group of teenagers in a small group that practically put an M80 inside all the toilets at church. And I got all these other guys here, and they're failing their grades. And I got this kid, he's smoking who knows what. And, you know, all of a sudden I felt great. And I'm just, all this stuff, youth pastor stuff, just comes out like vomit. And Fred's just listening to it all and making me feel like gold. And I look at my friend Troy, and I sat there going, what's going on? And before you know it, it was time for us to leave, and I'm leaving. I felt great. On the way out the door, Fred goes, hey, I can hear them singing, by the way. I love you. I can hear them singing already. And he died within 24 hours of that meeting. He went home to be with God. And the reality is, God did not move that storm from Fred's life. My life was changed. That story's etched in my brain like my kids being born. And I won't forget his consistency. He didn't do anything to cure Fred. Fred was cured on the inside where he needed to be. He didn't miraculously heal him of his cancer. God did not do that. Instead, what he did was he stood by his bed and he held his hand and he brought his heart to the surface and said, you are going out with a bang, dude. You're going to touch all these guys and you're going to hear something really pretty. Because I'm gonna turn up the volume on heaven a little bit. And you're going to hear some of this. I didn't hear it. Fred heard it. And he told me it. And his last words were, I can hear them singing already. He gave Fred a calm in the midst of a storm. He gave Fred a joy that infected me even today when I think about it. And when I put this story inside my sermon, I was dying. Because of what this man left me. I remember his face. I remember that toupee thing on his head. Such joy. You can live like that too. When you sit next to God, even the worst storms seem calm. And I believe this miracle teaches us those four things. That the reality of God can be scary. But Jesus' answer is, do not be afraid. And I believe that this miracle teaches us that. When our eyes are on Jesus, we can do incredible things. And I believe it teaches us when we find ourselves sinking in life's storms, we reach out to Him. He's not going to let you sink. He's got your back. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, so what? That's what the miracle teaches. Great. What do I do now? And I want to challenge you to investigate the identity of God. Is He good? And I said that earlier. Do you believe that He's good? The identity of God. If you're a seeker and you're here, honestly, you have perhaps the most integrity of anyone else here, genuinely seeking out the truth of the universe. And I called a friend of mine recently. He was one of the guides. His name was Kalen. His dad had just passed away before our trip. And he's still in the grieving process. I believe he was a seeker. Most important thing he could learn, he said, he was getting from some good books. And the Bible, other stuff, asking questions. Bill, one of our directors, was telling us about Caitlin's story. And honestly, Caitlin was seeking the truth. But he was suffering inside because of the stuff that had happened to him as a young man without his father. Still a great guy. He's the one on the far left there with his hands up. I love that guy. I want him to work here on Catalina really bad. He's got a great smile.
But God's refining him up there in the woods. Bill and his family are pouring life into this guy. Seek it out, brother, I told him.
The truth is
nothing to hide. I want to challenge you, Caitlin, if you're a seeker, continue, keep seeking, investigate the identity of God. And our conversations are back and forth now.
I said to him, he'll reveal himself to you. Once you've investigated his identity, then you trust him and you go through life storms. That's the next one. You trust him. I finish with this. Like Peter, reaching out to God, it's not going to let you sink. I want to challenge you, though, to rest in him. This is one of the biggest lessons that Pastor Andrew has to learn. There's an incredible rest that comes from knowing that you're in the hands of the Creator. That the one who made all things, who loves you intensely, says, rest in me, Pastor. I love you. Stay in my love. Create a posture to listen to me right now and realize I love you. And once you realize that, you will have something in turn to offer someone else. You need to stop, slow down. The plan I have for your life, it's a great plan. The things I've planned for eternity are beyond your comprehension. Trust me, rest in me. I grew up in Florida. Storms were powerful. Lightning was unbelievable. Lightning capital of the world. And lightning flash and the loudest bass boom you've ever heard. And as a child, I would fly out of my bed, doing 1,000 miles an hour, bump into walls, and run into my parents' room, rip their covers off the bed, and lay on my dad's stomach. I shoved my little fuzzy head under my dad's chin. I won't forget it. Mom told me all about it, too. She won't let me forget it. I woke them all up as if the storm hadn't. I was terrible. But I was thinking, I'm safe. I'm with my dad. And it doesn't matter what storms are happening on the outside. I'm safe. I'm good. And that's the relationship God wants to have with you. He loves you, and when you're with him, you're safe. There'll be a calm even in the midst of the storm. Just put your trust in the hand of the God who loves you. And this one last thought will help you. Here it is. Focus your eyes on the storm, you'll sink. If you're looking at things going on around you, the stress included, relational stress, people being mean to you. I mean, this time of the year, there can be a real drag sometimes on Front Street. People thinking with this spirit of entitlement. And if you're a server or you're a hostess, maybe you're not given the gratuity or you're not given the politeness from people. You got customers out in the harbor, just in a bad mood. A lot of people here letting you know you're going to sink. You're going to sink if you focus on that junk. Because if you focus your eyes on the Savior, you will soar over things that are bogging you down. The one who saved you is the one who brought Peter back into the boat. I need this miracle. This is a very rushed time of the year. Rest in me. I have you. And I love you. You'll soar. Simple miracle, but powerful. I've gone through this so much in the last week as I've seen so much stuff happening in Southern California and even in the media. Even in the history of our nation and in the nation of Israel this week. If you're paying attention, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of stuff going on. Focus on the Savior. Focus, even looking at history, the fact that He's still sovereign. Let's pray. God, thank you again. Lord, thank you for the way you whisper your love to us in all things. When I lie by a river and I look up at the stars and I see you whisper with the stars, it's your whisper. Your love to us intensely. Raging river and the mighty waves bouncing as high as the palm trees out there. Your love floods in. It speaks about your love. When I stand here and I look at all these faces, Lord, I know that your love for each of us is so intense. God, I pray that you would show us how to embrace that life. Bless us this week. We pray these things in your name. Amen.